Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we're in Joshua chapter 11. Chapter 11 is about demolishing enemy strongholds and taking the north. Joshua chapter 11 kicks off with another axis of evil forming in the north, just like the kings of the south did, only this time. Verse 4 tells us, they came out with all their troops and a large number of horses and chariots. A huge army as numerous as the sand on the seashore. All these kings joined forces and made camp together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them, because by this time tomorrow I will hand them all over, slain, to Israel. You are to hamstring their horses and burn their chariots." This chapter chronicles the breaking of the power base in the land of Canaan, and all of the city fortresses were completely annihilated. That doesn't mean that all the cities, towns, and villages in between these city fortresses were destroyed, but all of the inhabitants of the strongholds were put to death. Now, this is a tough pill to swallow, but keep in mind that a city fortress was a military installation like a medieval castle that was responsible for keeping the surrounding countryside in subjection to the rulers. These stone juggernauts were built for war, and like a castle, you tended to live there at your own risk, knowing that you lived in a military installation. It had its benefits, but it also had its risks. And if you wanted to live, you either fled, fought, or made a bargain, like Rahab did at Jericho. But verse 19 tells us, except for the Hivites living in Gibeon, not one city made a treaty of peace with the Israelites, who took them all in battle. Verse 20 goes on. For it was the Lord himself who hardened their hearts to wage war against Israel so that he might destroy them totally, exterminating them without mercy, as the Lord had commanded Moses. I'm not going to lie, this is actually a tough passage, and like so many of the passages, they're just things that we have to accept. For reasons known only to God, he wanted these people gone. But let's look at the lesson for us living today. In Joshua demolishing all these strongholds, we see a picture of our sin, or what Paul calls enemy strongholds, in our lives. In 2 Corinthians 10, Paul says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Thankfully, Paul defines what those strongholds are so that we're not left to make up our own meanings, as so many false teachers have done in regards to this passage. Paul refers to the strongholds as arguments and pretensions that exalt themselves against God's truth. Now, these arguments and presumptions often live in our own minds, the battleground of ideas. And unfortunately, God's truth doesn't always take up residence there. A stronghold is an ungodly argument, Paul says, that you believe instead of God's word. For example, maybe you know that God is a father and a shepherd to you and says he'll take care of you, but you still find yourself worrying about everything. Could be that that's a mental stronghold, a place where God's truth has not yet penetrated. Paul says we need to demolish enemy strongholds and take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we need to surrender those thoughts to him. What areas of your life seem to be strongholds? Maybe you believe that pornography is normal, and after all, everybody's doing it. A little isn't a big deal. I mean, God can't really expect us to be pure, can he? Well, that would be a stronghold. And those thoughts need to surrender or be surrendered. Maybe somebody's deeply hurt you, and you've come to believe that the world is out to get you. Therefore, you struggle to love others because everyone seems like such a bleepity bleep. Oops, that potty mouth thought needs a spanking. It needs to be taken captive. You see, when God finds strongholds in our lives, he wants them gone. The question is whether or not we do. Often we allow these strongholds to live in our lives because they've become coping mechanisms, little convenient quote-unquote truths that help us make our way through the world, or so we think, but they're actually holding us captive and dominating us, keeping us defeated in those particular areas. And that's what a stronghold does. It says you can have every other area surrounding this one, But this stronghold stands firm. And in those areas of our life, the Holy Spirit finds himself diverting his activity around that area, like water would a rock in a stream. That's where the verse about God determining to destroy them comes into play. Sometimes God exacerbates a conflict so that we have no choice but to see those strongholds destroyed because they're killing us. And it can be a long struggle. In verse 18, we're told that Joshua waged war against these kings of the northern strongholds for a long time. Doing the math, it actually turns out to be about 7 years. Maybe your struggle is taking longer than you thought. It's not overnight. It's not like the fairy tale storybooks. Well, the Bible isn't a fairy tale storybook. Even with God on their side, this supernatural God who had the power to part rivers, send lethal hailstones, and stop the sun in its tracks, this God still wanted Joshua to fight. Fight long and hard and in a 7-year campaign. What about us? Do we think just because the battle's not won overnight, that therefore God must not be in that battle? It's just the opposite. God wants you to fight hard and to trust him long. And verse 21 tells us that Joshua went and fought hard against the Anakites. Now, you know how the Anakites are. About 8 foot tall. Think of a race of basketball players. That's right, they were giants. And very few of them survived this. Incidentally, that's who Goliath was descended from. After he whooped up on him, he might have been called Joshua the Giant Slayer. At least that's probably what I would have called him. Listen, there will be some giants in your life that also need to be conquered, and conquer them you will. But none of what you consider a giant is really that big at all in God's eyes. So how about it? You ready to smash some strongholds? Maybe sit down today and think about what are those areas that God really has to work around, because I just seem to be stuck in my thoughts about this particular thing. Or I revert back to the ways I used to act or think before I knew Jesus. What do you think? Are you ready to kill some giants? Read Joshua 11 today and whoop up on everything that exalts itself against the kingdom of God and his word.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.